Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Listen. Hi. Listen. Hello. Listen to all you good people out there. This is the Global Vision for Living Today. And we had a little power glitch. And I was saying, oh, my God, I know a lot of people are going to be on, and they're going to be waiting to hear these answers. Now, we got a little title glitch here. Why dies my prayers? Hey, let's not be foolish. Why does my prayers go unanswered? And I'm so happy to be alive to even talk about this, because so many are weeping and they're wailing and they're saying, I've been begging God for 1,000 years. I've been begging God on my hands and knees. I've been begging God, sitting up in my chair, lumped over in tears. I've been begging God for all the goodness of this world, and I ain't got anything. I don't think he's hearing me. I don't think God is even interested in answering my prayers. I do everything that I can think of, and guess what? Nothing. My condition in life is the same. I don't know what I'm doing right. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what I'm doing, why I'm doing, and how I'm approaching this God. Maybe that's the key. Maybe there's something wrong there. But one thing I do know, my prayers are going unanswered. And the Bible says that God is the hearer of prayer. Uh-oh. A hearer, or is he listening? We want God to listen to our prayers, just not hear our cry. And a lot of times we can be sitting up in these institutions and they will say, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, you know, I'm praying and I know God is hearing my prayer. You want God to not only hear your prayer, but you want him to listen to it. You know, we hear all kinds of things during the day, all kinds of sounds. But we keep walking, we keep driving, we keep talking. It doesn't necessarily mean we want anything out of what we're hearing. But today we're going to find out. Why can God answer some of these prayers? We have Colonel Harrison with us today, and most of you, I thank you for tuning in and coming back. We just love you, and we have a big surprise for you near the end of our show. But Colonel Harrison, welcome. Hi. Hi, Colonel Harrison, this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Coppertino, listening audience. All is well on the East Coast, and where all is well, West Coast, and wherever else others may be. Good to be on the show again.
Well, I tell you what, you better open your door up. You better open your window up, because all is not well. Through the night and every day, we're getting reports of murders. Our children, our parents are killing their children. That is a segment. They don't know why, but it looks like the children of 2022 are being crucified by their own parents. And that's a phenomenon that even law enforcement is trying to look into. But no, I don't think we'd be on this show today if everything was okay and peachy cream and all that. We're here as God's warriors. We're here today as God's soldiers. We're here today to show God that we love him and beside him that there is none other. So we're talking about prayer. Prayer is a solemn conversation, solemn, sacred conversation with God, not with mommy, not with daddy, but prayer is a sacred, personal, private consultation, if we can call it that, with the God of the universe. But some people are saying they're praying. And you know what? I'm thinking, yeah, they're praying. They're trying to get God's attention. They want God to hear them, but you also have got to want God to listen to you. And, of course, if we don't approach this God in the way that he approved, hey, it ain't about anything. You are not going to get your prayers answered. And there's several reasons why most of our prayers go unanswered. Colonel Harrison, can you start us off with that? What are a couple of reasons why a person's prayers might go unanswered, like they never prayed at all?
Absolutely, Dr. Coppertino. Number one, the way they're living their lives is not pleasing unto God. The way One is living their life as not pleasing unto God. Keep that one in mind. Number two, your prayer doesn't glorify God. When we pray to God, we have to glorify God. We have to acknowledge God as God the Creator, God as Jehovah, God the true and living God. Besides God, you said a moment ago, there's no other, Dr. Capitina. We have to put him first in our lives. So we don't give God glory, give him adoration. We give God praise for he being a supernatural, invisible being for who he is. And so when we don't glorify God, he's not going to hear our prayers. And when we're not living a life of he's not going to hear our prayers.
Very, very good examples. And a lot of times, you know, most of us may have the habit of trying to tell God what to do. We're asking God for what we can do down here on earth. And we're asking God to shadow us. We're asking God so many things, but when it gets down to a point where we're telling God what to do, not to do what he knows is best, how are we going to do that? How are we going to react to that? We wouldn't be praying to this supernatural force spirit if we didn't have faith, some kind of faith, that number one, he is going to accept me on my knees. Number two, he is going to accept me as I am. Number three, he's going to have me come unto him with the contrite. I can't go to God all puffed up like I'm a Miss Big Shot and I know it all. And God, I want you to do this. You know what? I get so upset. I hear some of these ministers, and this isn't minister bashing, but they will say, God, I want you to go into the prison. God, go into the so-and-so. You get up and go. You know, a lot of times what we're asking God to do, he's already told us what to do and how to do it. So we're not going to make that same mistake and get on our knees or lay on the floor, however you pray, and try to tell God what to do. Don't tell him what to do. Ask him, what should you be doing? And I think that's why a lot of times people say, oh, you know what, my prayers, you know, they're going and ask it, I ain't gonna pray no more. I didn't pray, ain't nothing happening. What is supposed to happen? Here we are with a carnal mind, getting up, walking about the earth to and fro, and we're thinking, oh, you know what, well, God, I need you to help me do such and such and such. He don't have to help you. He's already given us the tools here on how to approach him in the ways that he approves. One of them, we've got to, as Colonel touched on, Harrison touched on a bit there, worthy in his name. In the name of God, we've got to prove worthy. How does a person prove worthy? Well, number one, you're going to cut off the foolishness you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know what you talk about during the day. You know how you are fleecing your employer out of hours. Walk worthy. Colonel Harrison, how else can a person walk worthy in the name of Jesus?
To walk worthy in the name of Jesus by first getting to know who Jesus Christ is. A lot of people don't know who Jesus Christ is. Some believe that he was a prophet. Some faith, religious denominations teach that. The main one, Christianity, teaches that Jesus is the Son of the true and living God. God didn't have a son named Jesus who was his only begotten son. So we have to know who he is, accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, and then doors and revelations and things start opening unto us, and we can read the Bible and commune with him through the word and also through prayer and position ourselves so that God will hear our prayers.
Yes, and then when a person walks worthy in the name of the Lord, that gets his attention. Jehovah, at Psalm 83:18, says that that people, he makes this statement that thou might know that I, Jehovah, art the Most High alone over all the earth. So when we get to a point when we can recognize God for who he is and thank him for sending his son, then things should be turning around for us. But we have first got to worthify ourselves. Stop running around lying. Stop running around cursing. Stop running around doing things that you, without even knowing the Bible, know. And you know something about this. It's just not right. So there's several other ways that a person can become worthy in God's sight, but you're not going to lay up there on your bed and say, yeah, you know, okay, God, make me worthy. Colonel Harrison said, he always says it's about get to know. I don't know how we're going to get to know God if you're not praying, if you're not falling down and saying, whoever you are, I know I did this, whoever you are, whatever you are, help me, heal me, Lord. I've heard about you. I may not know about you, but here I am at the feet of your throne. I mean, we're not going to just wake up one morning and say, oh, I got to know God. Are we insane? That humans is not hooked up like that. Only when we are in a contrite position, somebody got a gun to our head, somebody got a knife to our throat, someone is saying, I'm going to kill you in half an hour, then maybe something within us will call on this God. Whether we know him in the full sense of knowing him, no one is really going to get to know God, because Isaiah says, hey, in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So the best we can do is fall down and say, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me, God. Now, that's a prayer that would not go unanswered, because when you go to that God, when you go to that God in spirit and in truth, he's not only going to hear you, but he's going to sit down. I'm using that as an analogy. He's going to sit and listen to what you got to say. I don't want nobody just to hear me out. You listen to what I'm saying, because only will action come when this God is listening. That's the only time you're going to get anything out of God. He's got to listen. Then he's got to wonder, well, why are you knocking on my throne door? What do you want? What's happening? Only when we are on our last leg do people normally turn to God, even those that are on death row. They give them a meal and give them an opportunity to say some last words. They always, most of the time, except hardcore killers, I've heard him say some bad things. But that is the only time that they will want to have a conversation with God. And that's what a prayer is, sacred conversation with God. Another thing, Colonel Harrison, most of those that wonder about their prayers going unanswered, they are not asking under the auspice of the will of God. They're answering under the auspices of their own will. I want this. I need this. Hurry up, God. Colonel Harrison, why is that?
Because people are selfish and self-centered, and they want only their prayers answered because they have a need. Some have need because of need. Some have need because of greed. Two different things. You have need because of need, and you're righteous, and you have a relationship with God, you know his son, God will answer those prayers. You have a need because of greed, God's not going to answer greed prayers. I have an interesting scripture for us, Dr. Coffin, and our listening audience. Found in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The land, the earth is sick because people doing wicked things and they're not willing to turn from that and turn unto God and do God's will that is for their lives. And that's why we're having all the chaos and the shootings and all that, and everything seems to be out of order and out of control. So I just wanted to put that scripture for 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Thank you.
That sure is right. And you know what? As you were speaking, chills came down my spine because I was thinking on the verse you mentioned, if, number one, and then my people. So I think, you know, to approach this study session here, and that's what I'm calling it now because we're really getting down with some good information. Number one, if my people, well, let's identify who his people is. I hear a lot of people go, yeah, if my people, God told me that if my people will only, and I think it says in there, humble themselves. But bottom line, mm-hmm. how can we identify God's people then? Now, you went there on this. I probably would have held that one back for some of the time. But if my people, who is this people? Tom, Dick, and Harry? Somebody then killed a thousand people and haven't
No, Doc, in the Old Testament part of the Bible, which
I'm not finished. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Hold it, sir. Most gracious sir. Now, we have got to identify. I'm not talking about in the Old Testament. I'm talking about today, T-O-D-A-Y. If my people... It's Chronicles, if my people. Well, first of all, it might be very worthy and studious of us to identify, well, who are these people? Because also in Isaiah, first and second chapter, he mentions, though they make many prayers and holding up hands, I am not listening. See, anybody can hear the sounds and sights. But to actually sit down and listen to the birds chirp, me, myself, I don't have time to do it. But let's identify then who is people. I talked to many ministers, many laymen, many corporate people, and they could say, yeah, you know, my staff is this, and my staff is that. Oh, I told them that. Well, here, let's back the train up. Oh. I'm going to open the gate up for my people. I'm standing up here preaching to my people. You ain't got none. You don't have any. Anybody you're talking to belong to God. Anybody that you're talking to, whether they're doing his bidding or not, they belong to God. And we used to have this problem when I was one of Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they would... So much foolishness that they claimed they heard was just astronomical. So we knew if we could get in there and they opened the door up, we're going to kill that mess. So now I think we need to identify, well, who is this people? Because I tell you what, his real people would not be talking about why does God not my prayers go answered. Because I'm thinking if we know whom we belong to, and we're on our knees praying, we ain't got to worry about it because we know, number one, God, Jehovah, is going to not only hear the prayer. Oh, yeah, that's them again. He is going to listen. So let's get this thing right. And I think we can almost close up for today. Who are God's people? How are God's people identified? And the scripture said, by this you will know. So if you really belong to God, if he has really called you out, he says, hey, you got to be worthy as I am. So we already know. So if you walk around doing anything, not doing anything, trying, saying you're trying to do something, you got a problem. I don't care who you listen to on Sunday. You have a problem. And that's, as Colonel Harrison said, that's why the world is in the shape it's in now. I can't believe if these people of the world, you know, by those called by my name, hey, if they had had proper instruction, I really don't believe some of the things would be as they are now. I used to meet people that said they never heard of the word Jehovah. One guy said, oh, Jesus Christ, I think that was the son of Satan. Why? And this isn't an isolated case once a month that I actually heard it, but all of this stuff, and then here's the shotgun shot. Oh, my pastor told me so-and-so. I tell you, we were livid on what some of these people would say. So now here we are. Colonel Harrison, you're a minister. Identify God's people. Oh, I'm a guy, you know, I got to do this for God's people. Who are they? There's a scripture that tells us explicitly, and you being the minister, let us hear that information.
The Bible speaks of two categories of people, either they're Jew or Gentile. The Bible doesn't speak of race.
Colonel Harrison,
yes.
In the Bible, it says, by this you will know who belong to me. Your minister, let us hear that. We're not talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He said, by this you will know my disciples. What did he say?
Yes. Yeah, he said, by their works you will know that they are his disciples, and they will follow him.
Hey, Colonel, I see we're having a rough time. He said, by this you will know my disciples, if they have love amongst themselves. That's what the scripture says. You will know my disciples if they have love amongst themselves. So I would be, now, if I was in a ministry like that, I'd be teaching people how to love each other. And I, on Jehovah's name, I would shun those that didn't. I don't care who it is, in my house, under my bed, or sitting on my couch. If I run across anybody, relative, whomsoever, I don't have to be afraid I'm going to lose everything I got. You know what? They would be gotten on by this. Yeah. You ain't going to run off people God has told me to share the good news of the gospel. You got to get up. Get out of here. I don't find your lawyer. Yeah. So the whole point of this is, that's how we would identify a people that claim they are of God, or the orientation of God. Why does my prayers go unanswered? That is the topic for the day. You can lay down for 2, 3, 4 weeks, a month, whatever, 5 years. But if you do not have love in your heart, don't go to God begging, because that's mostly, you know what, and I hate to say this. Hey, you guys out there, somebody told me that there's different prayers by different races. I'm not really going to go into it, but they say the black man, when he pray to God, he's begging for this, begging for this, begging for that. Where has he said that he was taught that you got to go to God like he's an ATM? But they say, but the white man, when he prayed, and I was shocked, because I thought about it. Yeah, you know what? That sounds about right. Because when some of us don't get what we want, we stop praying. No, he ain't going to answer nothing, because he know your motive is not right. He know you're coming to maybe beg to fill a bank account up. But he said, by this you will know my disciples. So my disciples know better. I'm not coming under a cloak with a dagger in my hand behind my back trying to get God to do anything. He said, my disciples. Now, he's going to listen and hear what those got to say. So if we're going to God, or think we're going to him, saying, oh, you ain't did this, you didn't answer this, I didn't hear you say this and that, guess what? You're going to have a big problem. So that probably is one other reason why our prayers, someone's prayers, do not get answered. Now, here's another thing. Colonel Harrison, you and I both know, and our listening audience, that if our prayers do not glorify God, if our prayers don't put God first, I know a minister, he used to stand in his pulpit and praise God for about half an hour, and then, you know, he would go into a solemn prayer. We got to put God first when you run into him begging for something, asking for something, trying to cajole him to give you something. Yeah, you know what, I ain't took a drink in 3 days, so God hear me out. And you know what I used to hear and still hear is absolutely atrocious, but the world ain't having it. Look at the world. Look at them. If something came out in the news last week or this week saying these millennials and these teens, they don't care nothing about God. It's old people like me and others, grandmas, great-grandmas, that's trying to hang on. But if our prayers do not glorify God, Colonel Harrison, are they going to leave planet Earth?
No. It'll be a useless prayer. A fruitless prayer, because our prayers have to glorify God by us acknowledging God, giving adoration and adulation to God. And I'm in agreement with you, Doc, in regards to that. This, you know, there are my disciples, John 13:35, and the 34th verse of John 13 says, a new commandment that he give unto thee, that you love one another as I've loved you. So God, the essence of us being able to get our prayers through is having love for God, number one, love for one another, number two. And Isaiah also makes reference to us loving one another, serving God, and embracing God. God, and knowing who God is, and then God will be open to hearing our prayers.
Yeah, and the only way we're going to know who God is, the only way is through a Bible study, a consistent Bible study, starting all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And some of these commentaries have a one-pager on Genesis. You can sit within an hour, Genesis. Then the next day, if you really are interested, going over to Exodus and so forth and so on. 66 books in a little over 2 months, if anyone is interested, they could really learn about God, even if they don't have a teacher there. Some of these ministers are so busy, it will make your head spin. They got this going, they got this going, they got that going. It doesn't matter what the age is, but they just running. I wonder how do they have time to talk on the phone to these people calling out about God. That's scary. Very scary. My mama had a saying, if you ever want a man, leave a minister alone, because he sure ain't going to have time for you. And that stuck with me. You know, I'm not particularly interested in anyone in particular like that. But that was the saying then. And coming up, I used to hear him all the time. My grandmother and my grandfather were married, I think, 69 years or something, and she told Mom on the phone, if I'd have known he was going to be a preacher, I never would have married him. And that stuck with me and the other things that I heard, because I was wondering, well, how could that be? Isn't being a pastor, you know, a noble position? But at that time, she told me most were hiding behind that. They couldn't do anything else. Really didn't know what they wanted to do, and they figured, well, I'll just put on a cross on a gold chain and a three-piece suit, and I'm going to get out there. I'm not bashing you guys, but you see how the world is now. Somebody is responsible for that. God didn't call the politicians of the world to do anything for him. He called the meek and the lowly, because his son went to those kind of people and said, follow me. He did have some people in his flock. Doctor, lawyer, you can't run around even in this generation and not have those kind of people there. And my grandpa also told my father, he said, don't open your church up if you ain't got these in it. And he named five. I never will forget it. I was sitting there. He said, don't do it, James. So how and why does my prayers not get any answers? We're going to cover this next week. Colonel Harrison, I want you to touch on this. Many people are not living their lives in harmony with God. Do they really expect God to answer, hear and answer their prayer? Close us out on that.
That's beyond my comprehension to believe that someone could expect God to answer their prayer and they're not living a life that's pleasing to God. Let me give an example.
Yeah.
Working a job, we work a job for a salary. So we go to the job, we have a certain particular amount of work or type of work we are to do. And if we don't do that type or kind of work that we are obligated to do or been trained to do, then there can't be no expectation of receiving a salary. So it's the same with God. God expects us to reverence him first, give him adoration and praise him and exalt him and position ourselves with him and know who he is when we go to him in prayer. Then God will hear our prayers, because he hears the prayers of the righteous. God is no respecter of persons, so he's not going to answer those who don't have a relationship with him and doing everything else in the world but putting God first in their lives. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you did it. Okay, you guys, that ends us out for this session here. Next week, same time. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And remember, if you want your prayers answered, you got to be in harmony with the God of the universe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. Bye.